Good afternoon, listeners. This is Corner Country, brought to you by allaussieradio.com.au. Now syndicated to 97.7 Tasman FM and 87.6 Backwater Country. Phil C's my name if you've just joined us, and I've got a show and a half for you today, folks, okay? We're coming to you live from the Crow's Nest Country Music Festival. Now, that's Crow's Nest in Queensland, not Crow's Nest in Sydney. And got two very special guests on the program this afternoon, okay? Paul Fleming, first of all, who is the man responsible for the Crow's Nest Country Music Festival. He's a bush poet, and he's the chap that's put this entire event together. He's been running it now for about 5 or 6 years, and a fabulous guy. And then one of Australia's finest bush balladeers, Mr. Jeff Brown. Now, Jeff Brown is going to be one of the artists that will be appearing at the Yellowbelly Country Music Festival in St. George from the 24th to the 30th of June. And we're going to be there for that one. And on next week's program, we are going to have Diane Lindsay and Peter Simpson, which are two of the main acts that are going to be at that particular festival. And we'll have them on the show with us next week. Now, I'm going to kick off the program with a singer who is going to be one of the artists at that festival as well, okay? That's the Yellowbelly Country Music Festival, St. George, 24th to 30th of June. And Reg Poole is the name of this chap, and I'm going to kick the show off with his song. It's a number called Chainsaw.
He had a real bad disposition ever since the day his forefeet hit the ground. This crazy little Brahma cross named Chainsaw, as he tried to cut you down. He'd wreak havoc everywhere he'd go. Guess he was born to rodeo. If Pat Condon was still here, he'd be so proud. That crazy little calf he picked, he's got all the top bull riders licked, and he became the idol of the crowd. Oh, Chainsaw,
Chainsaw, Chainsaw.
Can you hear the crowd a-roaring? Like an eagle you go soaring from the chute. Such an awesome reputation, every rodeo and nation pays tribute. You're a legend in your lifetime, in a game that cuts the legend down to size. But you're doing all the cutting, and old bull, you've got the whole world mesmerized. Oh, Chainsaw,
Chainsaw, Chainsaw.
With your bovine motor revving, as you rocket towards heaven once again. The wretched soul upon your back's already been to hell and back before they even pull the pen. But them old judges get it easy, they just draw another circle on the page. The young cowboy's got a memory that'll stay with him till he's turned grey with age. He said, I live for riding bulls, mate, but I'm in it for the glory, not the pain. The last time I flew so high, I was looking out the window of a plane. And he'll hunt you when he's got you down, then go looking for the clown. He loves to hear the mic man say no score. And he's kinda got me wishing that I'd have took up fishing, cause bull riding just ain't funny anymore. At the finals down in Tamworth, top rider Davy Johnson called your bluff. 12,000 fans were screaming that the 90 points they gave him weren't enough. But this only made you angry, and since then 200 men have had to pay for what the hand from French's Forest did to Chainsaw on that January day. Oh, Chainsaw,
Chainsaw, Chainsaw.
Can you hear the crowd a-roaring? Like an eagle you go soaring from the chute. Such an awesome reputation, every rodeo and nation pays tribute. You're a legend in your lifetime, in a game that cuts the legend down to size. But you're doing all the cutting, and old bull, you've got the whole world mesmerized. There's been rank bulls come before you, but none of them have ever flown so high. And I don't believe I'll ever see the likes of you again before I die. So here's to the men who tried you, and that cock-horned air shy cow that gave you birth. And here's to you, old chainsaw, you must surely be the rankest bull on earth. Yes, here's to you, old crazy chainsaw, you must surely be the rankest bull on earth.
Welcome back to the show, listeners. Phil C here. This is Corner Country, brought to you by allaussieradio.com.au, now syndicated to 97.7 Tasman FM and 87.6 Backwater Country. And I've got a very special guest in the show with us today, and he goes by the name of Paul Fleming. He's responsible for the Crow's Nest Country Music Festival. G'day, Paul.
Hey, Phil. How's that going?
Mate, we're having a fabulous time out here at Crow's Nest. First time for us.
Yep, thank
you so much for inviting us out to this festival. We're having such a great time. Tell us a little bit about the festival, because this is really your brainchild, isn't it?
It is. Actually, going back about 2018,
right,
we were going to try and get it started with Jed and Trudy Hinds. We were going to put it together, but something happened and we just couldn't get the meeting going. And then at 2000, just before 2019, one of the people that was president of the show society at the time said it might be a good idea to start a country music festival.
Okay.
And I was actually invited to chase up Bush Poets. But then nobody knew how to get it started, and it finished up from then on me organising the whole lot, you know. So we sort of started from nothing. We had to get a grant, and we kicked it off, did a night show, but it was too cold. So after that, we've gone back to day shows.
Mm-hmm.
So this year happens to be our fifth year. And it's grown from about 80 vans the first year to, I think, we might have getting close to 160 vans in today.
That's so enormous, yeah. Isn't it? So you've more than doubled your patronage of vans in that five-year period.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And you get some fabulous artists out here, don't you? For the benefit of the people tuning in right now, they think Crow's Nest, it's in Queensland. This time of year is blasted cold, isn't it, Paul?
We were minus one this morning.
Minus one. Water froze in the pipes, people. Okay, but they do have power out here, so you can run your heater, but not all night. And that's probably what threw the power, do you think? Because you had power
it's
down.
It's not always minus one, but that was exceptional.
That
today,
was exceptional. Yeah. Now it's a 5-day event, really. No, a 7-day event, really,
seven
isn't
day
it?
Event, yeah.
Because you've got 5 days of walk-up artists. So tell us about the walk-up artists for people who don't know what walk-up artists are.
Walk-up artists are people that like to get up and sing or do a poem or play an instrument, and it gives them the opportunity to be noticed and get up and have fun and enjoy themselves. So Weezy kicked that off for 5 days.
Yes.
And then at the end of it, we have a main show on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, where we actually have the invited artists come in.
Okay. Now, you're a bush poet yourself.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. And you do have like a bush poet's breakfast, don't you?
Yes.
How'd it go this morning for you?
Pretty good. We had a fair few people down there. I don't know how many, I didn't count today, but yesterday we had 60.
Okay.
Yeah, which is fairly good for 8 o'clock in the morning when it's cold.
Yes.
And quite a few, I think we had a dozen walk-up poets.
Okay. Yeah. So apart from Crow's Nest, you also, because I first met you at Nanango last year,
that's
so
right,
you do quite a few shows yourself, don't you?
Yeah, I'd probably do, in a normal year, sometimes 8 to 10 festivals.
Okay.
Mostly as a walk-up. I have been an invited poet at a few festivals as well.
Mm-hmm.
And plus I often do shows at caravan parks.
So when did you first decide you wanted to be a bush poet?
Came by accidental. I got a job at Blue Care and I was trying to do programs for clients and that. And I think I had one of Gary Fogarty's books and I just started to read an odd poem. And then I got asked to act in a play, which I never done the acting.
Okay.
And at the end of it, a lady wanted somebody to actually read a poem at a competition.
Okay.
And she asked me and I read it and then the next year I decided that, okay, I might get up and recite a poem that I know.
Okay.
So Annie knew one poem.
Which was that? What was that one?
For Old Granddad.
Okay.
And before I went out to the competition, I went through it for my wife. And I think I hummed and hard and she said, "Don't go, you'll make a fool of yourself."
Okay.
And I went along and I got runner-up.
Good on you.
And from then I learned a second poem and then a third, and I'd say I've got about 41 or 42 poems now in my category. So,
wow. That's how do you remember them? Do you have to recite them regularly to keep them fresh in your mind? That's 40 poets. That's a lot. Yeah. 40 poems.
I haven't had much time to practice this one, so I'll be relying on my memory tomorrow a little bit.
Okay.
I normally could jump up at a caravan park without thinking and run off 23 or 24 poems. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, you're gonna do a poem that you wrote for us in a moment, aren't you?
That's
now,
right,
you wrote this with your wife.
Yeah.
And it's all about...
It's about the Crows Nest Showgrounds is where the festival's been held, but it's about their actual local agricultural show and a little bit about the mural where they've got the walls all done up and painted colours, you know, showcasing the animals and different things that happen at the show, wood chopping and all those type of things.
So a lot of things happen at the showground apart from the Country Music Festival. What happens throughout the course of the year?
Well, in May they have the local Crows Nest Show, agriculture show. They have about October, I don't know if it's still on this year, they've had a rodeo the last few years.
Okay.
I think they've had a couple of other car shows or something back here at Crow's Nest. I think they've also done some Christmas here on around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends. There's quite a number of things, plus a number of caravan clubs do come in and camp here from time to time. So.
Yeah, I was going to say that because it's a large area and you've got quite a few powered sites.
Yeah, there would... It'd probably be about 120 we could actually book out. You know, we want to keep some of volunteers and any artists. And
as well as that, you've got showers and toilets. So it's a great place to come just if you wanted to visit Crow's Nest.
That's right, yeah.
You don't have to come to an event. You can just come out here and your prices are very reasonable. And I think it's a fabulous place. And I really want to thank you for inviting us out here. But now what I want you to do for me, if you wouldn't mind, is... recite this poem. Now tell us a little bit about it before you start it. You wrote it with your wife?
Wrote it with my wife, and it actually talks about the Crow's Nest show grounds themselves, and it came to mind when they were starting to put the murals on the wall, so we wanted to incorporate something in that as well.
Okay.
So it's just a little bit about, and brings in about when we had the fires a few years back and things like that, about how it was used as an evacuation centre. So,
okay.
So it's called If Those Walls Could Talk. There's a special place in Crow's Nest where people have gathered at for years. It's the venue for shows and festivals, in the good times and the tears. We're talking about our showground. It's such a big expanse of land. Where else could we all celebrate without things getting out of hand? The Crow's Nest Show is held each May. Livestock is proudly groomed and shown. The local farmers display their produce, all the good things they have grown. There's the cakes and other goodies, the arts and crafts as well, and the school kids' competitions. Oh, what stories they can tell. We can't forget that wood chops, where competitors do their best, they race the clock to beat their mates and put themselves to the test. We have this big pavilion where the children's sport is played. It doubles as a town meeting place when emergency warnings are relayed. Remember when we had the fires, it was back a couple of years, that pavilion became the command point, a refuge to ease our people's fears. The pavilion walls have been painted up by muralist Hisco, one of the best. The vibrant scenes he has brought to life highlight our showtimes in Crow's Nest. So if you're passing through Crow's Nest, make the showground your port of call. Check out our colourful walls of art. They're a must-see for one and all.
You've covered everything, haven't you? You've
pretty
covered
well.
The show. You've covered the showground.
Covered everything.
You've covered everything. How long did it take you to write that poem?
Probably wasn't that long. We fiddle around for a few ideas and change it, and I'll have an idea, my wife will have an idea, and if we don't fight over it, we put the idea together.
Okay. So does your wife recite poetry as well?
No, but she likes writing, and it's very handy when I'm writing something. If I can't work something out, she can come up with an idea how to finish a verse off and that, you know.
Okay, fantastic. So this is the fifth year, you said, Crow's Nest has been around?
Fifth year, I bet, yeah.
What about next year? Big plans for next year? Bigger and better?
I need a couple of months to think about it and get over it. I usually wind down by going out to Thargaminda later on in July.
Yes.
And then when that's over, I spend a week touring around caravan parks coming back, and then I come back and think about next year's show so I can... You know,
well, Thargaminda, that's Jed and Trudy, isn't it?
That's Jed and
that's
Trudy.
That's their festival. That's the Channel Country
Channel
Music
Country
Festival. And that's, when's that on? Do you know when that's on, Paul?
I'm going at the 13th. It'll probably start the 15th, I think, of July.
Okay, yeah. 15th of July. There you go, people. If you're interested in country music, Australian-only country music, you got to make sure you check that one out as well. Paul Fleming, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, putting this huge event together. I don't know how you do it, because you really are a one-man act, aren't you? You got a few volunteers this year.
Yeah, I put the whole show from start to beginning together myself, yeah.
A massive amount of work. As a, for the love of the town, for the love of the poetry, for the love of the country music, what inspires you?
I don't really know sometimes, you know. I always seem to get talked on to being on committees and I finish up doing a lot of the stuff, so, you know.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, mate, I just wish you all the success with this and you keep doing it for as long as you can keep doing it. And are you going to be at Nanango this year?
Yes, I'll be at Nanango, yeah.
Well, I will see you out at Nanango. Oh. Mate, thank you so much for taking the time to chat. Before we wind this up, I'm going to play you a song now. You did a poem for me. I want to play a song for you. Have you got a favourite artist or singer, band?
I like Jeff Brown. We've had him a lot of times on our show, and one of his songs that I like is called Sandy Kid.
Well, we're going to put that on right now, Paul. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
There you go, listeners. That's Paul Fleming. He is responsible for the Crow's Nest Country Music Festival, and we'll be back with more of Corner Country straight after Jeff Brown's Sandy Kid.
I've seen cattlemen around Australia, the ones who've stood the test. But I met a man at Cooper's Creek, I liked his story best. He looked like a tough old bushman who'd worked hard for a quid. He's a cattleman from Windora, his name is Sandy Kidd. Well, he cruised up in a swirl of dust, it was about midday. He said, come and have some lunch with me, I've got to be on my way. The endurance riders are coming, the Endeavour rally too. And I've got a flight to Roma for a big political do. Well, he took off in a light aircraft, colour was mainly white. His son flies a helicopter, on the strip was an ultralight. They've got a station in the Gulf and some Cooper Channel land, and Sandy reckons the Cooper's Creek couldn't be more grand. His name is Sandy Kidd, he's as tough as a kidgee tree, and like the outback mulga, he's where he wants to be. He likes to breed good cattle, and he sells at the highest bid. He's a cattleman from Windora, his name is Sandy Kidd. To irrigate cotton out on Cooper's Creek, and the cotton kings thought Windora would be too small to speak. But Sandy sat for Parliament, and I tell you what he did, he told them where to stick their cotton, his name is Sandy Kidd. If they'd have irrigated Cooper's Creek, the next would have been the Barcoo, the Thompson, the Georgina, and the Diamantina too. But Australians backed up Sandy with the TV and the quid. This cattleman from Windora, his name is Sandy Kidd. And if you ever go out to Cooper's Creek, to its big fishing holes, you'll hear stories of Burke and Wills and other pioneering souls. But a new name has been added, and to him I raise my lid.
to a cattleman from Windora. His name is Sandy Kidd. And when he leaves old Cooper's Creek and heads for the pearly gates, his name will be up there in gold. He'll be up there with the greats. He'll be wearing a pocket knife and a high-crowned bushman's lid. This legend from Windora, his name is Sandy Kidd. His name is Sandy Kidd. He's as tough as a gidgee tree, and like the outback mulga, he's where he wants to be. He likes to breed good cattle, and he sells at the highest bid. He's a cattleman from Windora, his name is Sandy Kidd. He's a legend from Windora, his name is Sandy Kidd.
Oh, there you go, folks. The song is called Sandy Kidd from the Mate I'm Feeling Lucky album. If you've just joined us, this is Corner Country on all AussieRadio.com.au, now syndicated to 97.7 Tasman FM and 87.6 Backwater Country. And I've got on the phone lines with us this afternoon one of Australia's, in my opinion, one of Australia's finest bush balladeers, Mr. Jeff Brown. How are you today, Brownie?
I'm going well, thanks, Phil. How you going?
Mate, well, I'm at Crow's Nest for the Country Music Festival out here. We've had some cold mornings, colder than a mother-in-law's kiss, mate. Absolutely freezing.
That's getting cold, mate. That's getting cold.
You're not wrong. They said, come to Queensland. You'll like it. Yes, wrong season, wrong time of the year.
It could be worse. You could be in Victoria.
Well, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. We could be down there. I think I'd rather be up here, actually, to be honest with you. Yeah. And this festival we're at, which is at Crow's Nest, absolutely sensational. Now, you've been at this one before, haven't you? You've played at Crow's Nest.
I think I've played... This is the first year I haven't been there, actually. I've played at everyone since they kicked off.
Okay. So couldn't fit it in this year?
No, I think they just wanted to change the lineup around a bit, which I think is a great idea.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Rather than just getting the same old act every time, it adds for a bit of variety, doesn't it?
It sure does. It's good to see some different acts, and you're right, a lot of the festivals do have regulars each and every single year, and you think, well, I've already seen all those guys. Why am I going out there again just to see two or three different faces?
But as it turned out, like this weekend, we're actually at Cumbia. I'm doing a couple of shows this weekend with my mate Dean Parrott.
Yes.
We're at the old Cumbia Hall up in Kingaroy, and then we're down at Marburg tomorrow afternoon. So, that's kind of fill the weekend in anyway.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you because I saw Dean. I'm trying to think where I saw him. Music in the Mulga out at Wandilla. I saw Dean out there, and he told me you guys had teamed up together and we're doing a series of shows. So that's great.
Yeah, last weekend we did Mackay and Rockhampton and Bundaberg.
Mm-hmm. Geez, you get around. You get around more. You get around more country music in than you do with your truck hauling cotton.
I don't know. I've come back from up there, and I've straight back in the truck the next morning. We've been flat out lately. Carting cotton and poor old truck getting a bit neglected. I find I'm getting home of a weekend, and you climb out and throw the good gear on and go off doing music then and get back from the music, and straight back to work.
Straight back into the truck.
Anyway, it's all good, though.
Fair enough. Now, let's talk about the one where I'm going to be seeing you next, which is Yellow Belly, and that is in St. George. And that's coming up on the 24th to the 30th of June, listeners, in St. George. Tell us about that one, Jeff.
Yeah, that's a great little festival. It's one that I've done every year that it's run too, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just recall the lineup that they've got this year, but usually there's it's just a great weekend of bush ballads, and it kicks off some of the bush poets of the morning, as you know, most of them do. But it's just it's a really good one. If you like the bush ballads, it's well worth the trip out there.
Yes,
and I'm not actually too sure what's happening. Whether this may be the last one, I'm not too sure. Alicia Smith She was making noises that it could be.
Right.
So, mainly because of Gemmo passing away, and he was the instigator of the whole festival. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of it's pretty hard for her to sort of organise the thing all the way from Baldacombe up where they live, but I might be wrong too. Like she might change her mind and run it again. But I think if you're wanting to get out to the Yellow Belly Country Music Festival this year, would be a probably a good idea to go, because as I say, may not happen again.
How long? How many years has it been running, Jeff?
Oh look, what would it be? It must have been going. Geez, I reckon it must have been going 14 or 15 years.
Okay.
Because I know our boys are coming up 16, and they were only, they're only babies.
Yeah.
When we first started rolling out there. So, that'd be about right.
15 years, wow. Well, hopefully she'll keep it going. She's got some really good artists. Apart from yourself, there's Reg Poole. Caitlin Jamison and Alicia Smith, Diane Lindsay, and Peter Simpson. So there's some really, really good acts. And they've got the Bush Poets, and there's obviously more. Becky Hansen, Pete Wilson are going to be out there, and Buddy Thompson. And they've got some really good Bush Poets too. Gary Fogarty and Ray Essery are going to be out there.
Well, they don't come much better than Ray and Gary, that's for sure.
Well, where the Bush Poets are concerned, that's for sure. So I think it's going to be great. First time for us. So apart from the fact that it's probably going to be a lot colder than here at Crow's Nest, what do you think? What do you think we can expect out there?
it's generally it gets pretty cold through the night, but it's generally beautiful days and it's all in the show pavilion hall there. So once you get in, listening to the entertainment, well, it's pretty tasty once all the bodies get in there.
And they got a lot of walk ups too for any of our listeners who like walk ups. And I know I've got a few walk up artists here that'll be tuning in to this one.
Yeah.
And I've actually got a couple of questions from a couple of the walk up artists, which I'll ask you in a tick about one of your songs in particular.
Okay.
I just, first time for me, can't wait to see it. And certainly can't wait to see you perform again, because I'm trying to think the last time I saw you, I think it might have been at Nenango.
Oh, it could have been, mate, yeah.
Last year, I think it might have been Nenango. You're going to be at Nenango this year?
Yes, I will be.
Fantastic.
Because I saw you at Music in the Mulga, didn't I, to start with?
I met you at Music in the Mulga about three years ago, I think. I met you out there.
That was last year.
Last year?
Last year, yep.
We
And then I ran into you at Nenango.
That's right. You did indeed. You did indeed. Yeah. And first time I saw you perform, and first time I saw your mate Dean perform too, that was at Nenango last year. And then he was at Music in the Mulga this year.
Yeah. That's right. No, it's a good one, that Music in the Mulga. It's a shame that they're not holding it out at one day.
That's going to be...
Someone said it's going to Thargaminda, is it? Or?
Correct, yes. We were at Thargaminda this year, probably a month back. We went out there for the Shearer's Shindig and caught up with Carmel and David out there, and they said that they were going to run it out at Thargaminda, I think. I'm not sure where. It's not going to be at the sports ground where they run the Shindig. It's going to be... one of the other places out there. But their plans for that is it's going to be a big festival, because they're going to try and keep everybody in the town for about 10 days or 2 weeks, because they're going to run it the week before the Shindig.
Okay.
So it's going to be big. I don't know how it's going to go. I said to him, you got to have to get that Wandilla Fire out there, mate, because that's the big draw card.
That's it. Actually, I got a surprise here a few months back. Called into the IGA in Pittsworth to get a few things, and I turned around, and who should be there is Carmel.
Yes.
they've moved down this way now.
That's right.
The crow flies are running about oh, it wouldn't be 10 minutes from where I live.
So, oh, well, yeah. you'll be on the bill for next year for sure. You'd have to be.
That's good.
Fantastic. Well, mate, let me ask you about this song, okay? I've had a couple of people. First is it came from a fella named Tom Irwin, and he's here at the festival, and he's asked me about a song that you've sung before, and it's called Harry Thompson, Man with a Past, and he wants to know what that song's all about.
Well, Harry Thompson is a bloke who's buried in the cemetery out of Roma.
Mm-hmm.
He originated from down at Stawell in Victoria, and he claimed to be pretty close mates with all the Kelly gang.
Right.
Ned Kelly, Dan Kelly, and he sort of reckoned he was there when the lead was flying. But everyone out in that area was pretty certain that he was actually Steve Hart from the Kelly gang.
Okay.
Because the rumor was going around that both Steve Hart and Dan Kelly escaped the fire at Glen Rowan and made their way up to Queensland, because the charred remains that were at Glen Rowan were pretty unrecognisable, I think. And I think an old Catholic priest identified them as Steve and Dan, but it could have been anyone.
Yep.
That's the thing with this old Harry Thompson. Yeah, he settled out at Wallumbilla around the turn of, sort of late 1800s, early 1900s, I guess.
Yes.
It was after the Boer War, so it must have been early 1900s. Rumour has it that he actually went off, him and Dan actually went off and fought it in the Boer War. And when they came back, there was a bloke called Harry Thompson, and they've supposed to have taken their identity, like these other fellas had got killed, and they come back with someone else's identity. So
yes. Mm. So that was that's answering Tom Irwin's question. Now you wrote this song?
No, Wave Jackson from India. He wrote the song.
He wrote it. Yep.
I give it a little bit of the tune and that sort of thing. A little bit of added a few little things here and there, but mm-hmm. That was mostly Wave's writing that one.
Okay.
And because
it's on one of your albums, isn't it? It's on one of your albums.
It is. Yeah, it's on the Hard to Let Go album.
Hard to Let Go album. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
All righty.
I reckon the Dan Kelly, he's supposed to be buried in the cemetery down at Ipswich.
Right.
Out of Brisbane there. And he's supposed to have gone under the name of James Ryan.
Okay.
And, they reckon as an old man, he was like in his 80s, and he was in hospital there. And anyways, he one day confessed to being Dan Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And checked himself out, and then he was walking across the train tracks, and a bloody train comes through and ran over him, decapitated him.
Jeez. That's karma.
The Kelly, I think the Kelly boy's sister lived around Ipswich there somewhere too.
Rightio.
Yeah, so he had family there type thing.
Okay. Okay. Mm. Well, I'm going to put that song on right now, Jeff, and then I'm going to come back with you. I've got one more question from another listener, so just hang in with us. We're going to be back with more of Jeff Brown, folks, straight after Man with a Past.
I'm at the town of Rome, checking history. Or they say that Steve Hart is in the cemetery. There's a headstone here, and it looks the part, but it's for Harry Thompson, it's not Steve Hart. Harry was born at the town of Stawell, a friend of the Kellys, he knew them all. He was a good shot, and his horses were fast. This bloke, Harry Thompson, a man with a past. with a loaded dray, and he took up land Wallenville away. His neighbors all thought right from the start, this bloke Harry Thompson could be Steve Hart. Hey Steve Hart, are the rumors true? Did your mate Dan Kelly ride north with you? Did you escape with Dan, your friend, when they burned down the pub? Did you ride like the wind? When he wanted supplies, he rode to town, leading two pack horses as the sun went down. He wouldn't sleep near the road, and he dodged the law. His guns kept loaded, and he bolted his door. The devil's pauper was Harry's land. He used the NK2, Ned Kelly's brand. He had scars from burns, and they say he was smart. This bloke, Harry Thompson, was he Steve Hart? In time we'll know, with DNA, if Steve and Dan really got away. Where there's smoke, there's fire, so the old folks say. Well, there's lots of smoke, more and more each day. Hey Steve Hart, are the rumors true? Did your mate Dan Kelly ride north with you? Did you escape with Dan, your friend? Yes, Stevie Hart, are the rumors true? Did your mate Dan Kelly ride north with you? Did you escape with Dan, your friend? When they burned down the pub, did you ride like the wind? Like the wind.
Righto, thanks Jeff for sticking around with us, mate. Now I've got a question, and this is coming from Faye, and she wants to know about Beautiful Betsy.
Beautiful Betsy?
Yeah.
Yep. That's actually roused a bit of interest, that song.
Sure has.
As I get around. Yeah, it's a true story about an old Liberator bomber that crashed up at Crumbertops in central Queensland there back in 1945.
Right.
And probably the most interesting part of the story is the fact that she was missing. The plane was missing for 49 years, and the eight people on board were missing as well. And in 1994, the park rangers up there were doing a controlled burn, and one of the blokes caught a glimpse of something out the corner of his eye. And when he went and checked it out, probably about 800 odd meters from where he was, he was the wreckage of the plane and the remains of the eight people. Everything was there untouched for 49 years.
Wow.
So it was pretty remote location where they found her.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the thing with her. It was actually scheduled to be its last flight, because the plane had a lot of stress cracks and that in its frame. And They'd decommissioned it as a bomber.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just using it to cart freight and that sort of thing around the territory. And so it was actually supposed to be the plane's last flight, and slow me down.
It was its last flight. Unfortunately, 8 people lost their lives too, didn't they?
But they seem to think that the last radio contact they had with the plane was up around Richmond somewhere.
Okay.
And there was drizzling rain, and it was a night flight. And no GPSs back then either. And they seem to think that breaking daylight, they've brought it down out of the clouds to try and get their bearings, because they got pretty badly off course.
Yes.
They seem to think they brought it down out of the clouds, and as they'd come down out of the clouds, there was the mountaintop, and they'd just gunned the engines, like just give it everything she had to try and get up over the top, but caught its tail on the cliff face.
Wow.
Yeah, they almost made it, I think.
Wow, okay.
But just, yeah. But anyway, they would have slammed into it pretty hard, I'd say.
I don't think they would have. There would have been no pain there, mate. It would have been over before they knew that it had happened, I think. They slammed straight into that. That would have been the end of it. Fair enough.
They reckon looking at the engines, you could just see that they would have been full noise, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. So, and that was a pretty sad story, actually. And then one of the blokes was a Pommy Spitfire pilot. He was getting married on the weekend, and another one was his best man. So
yes.
They didn't make the wedding, and so his bride to be, yeah, she was 49 years without knowing where he ended up.
Tragic.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Eh?
Very tragic. Very tragic. Now, was that one that you wrote? Because I know that, again, that's on one of your albums. I play that quite a bit, and that's why Faye was saying, "Can you tell me the backstory to it?" So she'll be happy with that. So is that the one you wrote? You wrote that one?
I put the tune to it, but it was actually a mate of mine at Gavidgin, just out north of Billawheeler.
Mm-hmm.
He sent it down to me as a poem.
Yes,
and he often writes poetry. He'd be driving along in his truck and whatever, and as he's driving along, he'll record these poems onto his phone, and there for a while he was often sending poetry through to me, and I was intrigued by the story when I heard it. I thought, yeah, you've got to try and do something
definitely
with it.
Fantastic song, mate. I think you've done an excellent job with it, actually. I do play it quite a bit, and I do get a few requests for it quite regularly. So Faye was one of them, and she asked me to ask you the backstory to it. So you've made her day, mate.
But Beautiful Betsy, if you Google up Beautiful Betsy, it's most of the information you'd want to know about it is on the net. So, yeah, pictures of the plane and everything, like pictures of the package.
Yep, for sure. All right, mate. Well, I'm going to have to wind this up and let you go.
Right. No worries. I've got to get start doing a few jobs and get ready to go to Cumbria, I suppose.
So have you got any new music in the pipeline before I let you go? Anything coming up in the near future?
You mean album-wise?
Album-wise or single-wise or anything that people might be able to listen to before an album? Or?
Haven't really got anything in motion at the moment.
Right.
It's well and truly time that I did, because I think it's about 5 years since the last album came out.
Okay.
So I need to probably get into it, but it's just, I don't know, it's been a funny old last 5 years, really, with the COVID and everything.
Yeah.
It just, but COVID upended everything, and just sort of felt like we were never going to ever do a show again, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, everybody felt that for sure. A lot of people took advantage of that, though, and wrote a lot of, or put a lot of material down, because I thought, we can't go out, we can't perform, so we might as well try and write. But I think when you're writing, you've got to be in that headspace, and being stuck in COVID situation, and probably all the songs would be depressing, I think.
Yeah. What happens a bit with me, I find, even writing and that, I've got to be in, as you say, in the headspace.
Yes.
But I find I get sidetracked with the truck job as well. You know what I mean? Like busy with the trucks and that sort of thing. And it kind of sidetracks you away from any creativity, I guess, that you might have.
Yes.
But anyway, I'll just get this cotton season out of the way, and I might have to start working on something, I guess.
Knuckling down. Pick up the guitar instead of bale of hay.
Yeah,
well, you wouldn't be picking up a cotton bale, but still.
Nah, not at about 3 ton each.
No, definitely not.
But anyway, it's good to talk to you, Phil.
And you, Jeff. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us, mate, about what you've been doing, what you got there going happening with Dean Perrott, and also the Yellowbelly Country Music Festival, 24th to 30th of June at St. George. Check it out, people. You're not going to be disappointed. Thank you so much, Jeff. It's been great talking to you, mate.
Yep, likewise.
And we're going to be back with more of Corner Country, folks, straight after Beautiful Betsy.
February 1945, some wartime history. 8 men and an aeroplane, a half century mystery. A night flight out of Darwin, bound for Brisbane town. They couldn't find a trace of Betsy or where that plane went down. She lay there almost 50 years, a shattered, mangled wreck. On a mountaintop in Queensland, that's where she hit the deck. Now Betsy, she is history, and her resting place was a mystery. It took 49 long years to find her locality. From America she came, a liberator bomber with a pretty name. They searched time and time again, but found no traces of that plane. She lay hidden on a mountainside, that's where Betsy chose to hide. The resting place for a beautiful girl who could make those massive engines whirl. Now Betsy, she was honest and faithful to the core. 25 active missions saw her leave Australia's shore. A beautiful American girl based out of Darwin town. Even when she limped home hurt, she never let her nation down. All those heavy combat missions put stress upon her frame. They removed her guns and all her bombs, and a pack horse she became. They used Betsy on tomcat runs, no more enemy she'd see. Transported troops and produce to and from the territory. Spitfire pilots thought they would hitch a ride. One would be the best man for the other and his bride. They boarded beautiful Betsy on that fatal night. Neither would have dreamed that it would be their final flight. Betsy, you left Daphne with a broken heart. 4 days from the altar, then her world would fall apart. There was no wedding Saturday, just misery and tears. Betsy, you stole Daphne's groom for almost 50 years. From America she came, a liberator bomber with a pretty name. They searched time and time again, a park ranger finally found that plane. She'd been at full pelt when she hit the edge. Now in bits she sits upon the ledge. A beautiful spot for a beautiful girl who rests upon Australian soil. Descending from a cloud on that rainy morn, she would have hit that mountain in the early light of dawn. The landing gear was still raised, there'd been no time to react. The investigation concluded all were killed upon impact. Grumpa Tops in central Queensland is scenic countryside. That's where Betsy is today and those eight men that died. The bomber is a war grave site, so take a look but treat her right. The resting place for a beautiful girl who listens to the curlew's call. Resting place for a beautiful girl who no more makes those engines whirl.
Oh, there we go, folks. That is Jeff Brown's Beautiful Betsy from the More Times Than I Remember album. Continuing on with the music now, and I'm going to play a track now by Diane Lindsay. Now, fingers crossed, Diane Lindsay and Peter Simpson will be on the program next week. Two of the artists that will be appearing at the Yellowbelly Country Music Festival in St. George, which is from the 24th to the 30th of June. Now, the track that I've selected is from an album called All Things Country, Diane Lindsay, and the song I've selected is a number called A Cobra's in the Snow.
Where snow falls on a cobra's once again, that's where I think I'll make my journey's end. With my old guitar and campfire burning low, I'm happy with a cobra's in the snow. Some dream of lands far across the sea. In towns and cities they would rather be. Others seek big rivers where they flow. But me, I love a cobra's in the snow. Hear the ancient sound of hoofbeats, our brumbies as they stride. In the land where mountain horsemen love to ride. And sunlight turns to silver. White gums on the rise, and snow-capped mountains reach for southern skies. When comes my time to ask the one above to take me to that special place I love? If I have a choice of anywhere I know, I'll be happy with the cobras in the snow. Hear the ancient sound of hoofbeats of brumbies as they stride. In the land where mountain horsemen love to ride. And sunlight turns to silver, the white gums on the rise. And snow-capped mountains reach for southern skies. Where snow falls on a cobra's once again, that's where I think I'll make my journey's end. Where crystal streams down mountain gullies flow, I dream about a cobra's in the snow. Where crystal streams down mountain gullies flow, I dream about a cobra's in the snow.
Diane Lindsay. The album is called All Things Country. A Cobra's in the Snow. Now, she'll be on the program next week, folks, because we are promoting the Yellowbelly Country Music Festival, which is in St. George in Queensland, and that's from the 24th to the 30th of June. Going to play one now by Peter Simpson. Now, Peter's going to be on the program as well. Hopefully, fingers crossed, the track we've selected by him is a number called Teardrops on the River.
Teardrops fall.
People, that is Peter Simpson and Diane Lindsay, Teardrops on the River, and that is from the Songs From Our Pen album. And don't forget, folks, those two artists will be on the program with us next week, Diane Lindsay and Peter Simpson. Folks, it's time for me to hang up the headphones. Before I do that, I do want to do another reminder, the Yellowbelly Country Music Festival at St. George, 24th to 30th of June. And you'll be seeing artists like Jeff Brown, Reg Poole, Caitlin Jamison, and Alicia Smith. Diane Lindsay, we've just played her, and Peter Simpson. And the list goes on, folks. We've also got two of Australia's finest bush poets out there, Gary Fogarty and Ray Essery. So until next week, folks, I've got to put that horse in the stable. I've got to take off the headphones, kick back on the porch with a beer and a jack. So until next week, yee-haw! I'm going to see you guys somewhere around Corner Country.